It's on. Good morning, church. Welcome. Good to see all of you. Our scripture reading today is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. In the Bible, under the seats in front of you, it's on page 805. And if you're physically able, please stand for the reading of God's word. I was going to say, if I can stand, so can you. So, inside joke there. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning that we get to remember the extraordinary gift of Christ our Savior. I pray that you would bring peace to our hearts, peace to our church, peace to this city, and peace to this land. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, there's no shortage of superb holiday movies to be watched, right, this time of the year. You've got Elf, you've got The Grinch. We watched The Grinch like three times yesterday while doing haircuts for the kids. one of the most iconic Christmas films that I love to watch is the classic It's a Wonderful Life, right? 1946 film tells the story of George Bailey, who's a kind-hearted and ambitious man who his life is marked by repeated interruptions that require sacrifice in order to help others, right? And although George starts out idealistic, the recurring theme of personal setbacks throughout the film, really culminating in this one massive one that could spell disaster for his entire life, lead George to the brink of giving up. And it's until the intervention of his guardian angel he discovers the value of in the meaning of his life, right? And of course, it's a touching film on the importance of friendship and loyalty and service. But one of the elements in the movie that I really appreciate is how candidly it depicts the struggle with the search for fulfillment in life. You know, over and over again, we see George's idealism crash against the rocks of reality as he's faced with the difficult decisions of letting go of his own desires in order to support others. And you see the inner conflict that he faces as over and over and over again he chooses to turn loose of those things that he thinks will bring him fulfillment and joy and peace. And in the end, of course, he learns that it's something very different than he thought that does that? Well, you don't have to live long to be able to relate to that, right? We're all searching for peace. We're all tossed about in the chaotic frenzy of this world, yearning to find something secure, something that will bring durable, stable peace to our souls and to our lives and to our families. Where do we look? What do we dream of? Well, I think we tend to seek out peace in a couple of places. We look externally and we look internally. So we look externally, that is that we look to some outward set of circumstances for peace. We think that it will be found in some environmental or social or vocational circumstances. And so when we reach a place, you know, when I reach a place in my career, when I'm at this stage of life, when I'm married, when I have kids, when the kids are grown, when I have a house, when my house is finally the way that I want it to look like, you know, whatever, then I'll have peace. Or secondly, we look internally. We try to find peace through some internal work, right? Through some set of practices or rhythms like meditation and living in the present and practicing self-care, visualizing somewhere relaxing, you know, like you're sitting on a beach or you're adjusting your mindset or something like that. Those are the two primary avenues that we look to in search of peace. And what both of those efforts reveal about us is that we operate based on an assumption. And that is that we tend to assume that peace is something that can be cultivated, that it can be produced, it can be created, it can be achieved, that all we need in order to achieve that is the right set of conditions. If we can just get the right set of circumstances or the right practices or the right rhythms or the right mindset, if we're optimized correctly, we can reach a state of peace. And so that's what we pursue, right? Externally, we work hard at our jobs and we seek out opportunities for advancement and we look for ways to garner influence and we build a nest egg and all of that. And we do the internal work also. We read articles and listen to podcasts and we follow the influencers and we take yoga classes and we visualize the places of serenity and we work on our mindsets and so on. And month after month and year after year, we chase after this desired future state where we'll finally have peace. And what do we discover? We discover that those things work only as far as they go. You know, that some of those are good things, success and resources and advice from others and being in community and letting go of stressors and all of that, good things. But they only go so far. And they never quite go deep enough. You know, imagine that you are interested in getting into furniture restoration. And you come across the perfect bench. You've been looking for a bench. You want to put it in the corner of your living room or the side of your breakfast table. You've been searching for it. You find this bench. It's the right length. It's the right height. It's the right style. It's the right price because it's at a garage sale. But there's one problem. You notice that it's got some wood rot. You know, there's some significant parts of the legs that look like they've had some moisture issues. And you can kind of, you know, you can see the decay in it. And you don't really have the time or the tools to fix it the way that it needs to be fixed. But you just can't pass up the deal. So what do? You get it, you take it home. And you say, I'm going to get a veneer. I'm going to wrap all of this in a veneer and make it look new. And so you wrap the entire thing, the legs, the seat, all of that, in a new thin piece of wood. And you sand it and you stain it and it looks gorgeous. And you set it, you know, in your living room and people come over and they compliment you on it. Yes, I fixed that up. And it all looks well. Until what? Until someone sits on it. Until someone sits on it, when the weight of reality is put on it, it creaks, it groans, you know, it shifts. Eventually, it collapses. trying to cultivate peace through our conditions is a lot like trying to restore decaying furniture with a veneer. It may look nice, but it only masks the problem. And eventually, when the weight of life's real pressures come down upon it, it exposes the true depth of the problem. There's never a circumstance that can be reached that will bring you lasting peace. Because any peace that's based on conditions that we create is ultimately conditional on our ability to control those conditions. And the jagged rocks of reality, like we see with George Bailey, reveal that that control is an illusion. And therefore, conditional peace is transitory at best. It's a veneer. And when the limits of our ability to control our surroundings are reached, the illusion is exposed. And then we see plainly that there's a deeper problem. There's a deeper unrest that remains in need of healing. So what are we to do? Well, the Bible tells us that there's a different way. We see it unveiled here in this important passage of the birth of our Lord. Consider the circumstances of Jesus' birth. They were anything but serene. They begin with the unexpected supernatural gift of Mary's pregnancy. This child was a gift from God, conceived supernaturally in the Virgin Mary. But it doesn't take a whole lot of imagination to understand how that would have been perceived by onlookers. This pregnancy out of wedlock would have been viewed as scandalous at the time and met with suspicion and social ostracization. And then Mary was blessed with what every expectant mother imminently about to deliver their first child wants, an unexpected road trip. She and Joseph, to whom she's betrothed, had to travel to Bethlehem to register as part of the census. And so they got the unenviable experience of travel by donkey around 90 miles over hilly terrain, probably taking 4 days, all while they were about to have a baby. And then after all of that, they get there and she gives birth out of town, likely staying in the home of a relative, resorting to using the manger, the animal's feeding trough, for their crib. You know, if you're looking for the greatest difference between birth plan and birth experience, I think that Mary and Joseph take the cake on that one. But that evening, on a nearby hillside, to a group of shepherds that were keeping watch over their flocks, came the most extraordinary message that has ever been uttered. The glory of the Lord surrounds these shepherds as the angel declares, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." A Savior. And then the hosts of heaven appear, flooding the night sky with the radiance of God's glory and declaring what this Savior came to bring. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. The reason Jesus came into this world was to save us from our sin and our brokenness and our despair and our destruction, and in so doing, to bring us peace. And it's only in that salvation and through that Savior that we find the lasting peace that we are all longing for. It's a peace that isn't dependent on our conditions nor upon our control. It's not a peace that we create or that we cultivate. It's a peace that we receive. Peace with God, peace from God, made possible through Jesus Christ, through his supernatural birth, through his perfect life, through his sacrificial death, through his victorious resurrection, you and I are offered peace. The peace that we yearn for and that we are all searching for is found in this most unexpected place. And isn't it beautiful that the sign by which God chose for Christ to be recognized? The sign was not a palace nor a place of prestige. It was a humble manger. The very symbol of Mary and Joseph's lack of control was the sign of their coming Savior. So this Advent, as we feel the pressures and the demands and the pain points of life upon us, as we feel the weight of life coming down on us, may we remember the one who came to bring us the peace that our souls long for, that our souls need. Would you find freedom in letting go of the control of your circumstances? Whatever the conditions of your life, would you trust the Savior who came to bring you peace with God today? Amen. We're going to turn now to the Lord's Supper. This is a way that we